Blog Talk Radio.
I want a heart that forgives, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil, goodness and love. Like it never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgives, lives and lets live, one that keeps loving over and over again. One that men can offend because your word is thin. One that loves without price like you, Lord Jesus Christ. Want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. Want a love like you, be like you, just like you did. Want a heart that forgives. Want a heart that forgives when the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most. I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurting. I want a heart that forgives when the pain is so deep, it's so hard about it to anyone, just like your son. I give up my right to hold it against them with hatred inside. I want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. I want a love like you, be like you, just like you did. I want to walk like you, talk like, just like you did. Want to be like you, live like you, just like you did. Cause a heart that forgives is a heart that will live, totally free from the pain of the past. And the heart that lets go, that we'll know so much freedom. Lord, I want to let it go.
Hallelujah.
God, I need to let it go. Lord, it's been holding me back, and I don't want it no more. I don't know exactly what to do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me, Lord.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Hallelujah. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and it truly blesses my soul to be here once again tonight to welcome you to another edition of Wounded No More. Now, your host and facilitator for tonight is my sister and my friend, Pastor Vanessa Carver. She is a mighty woman of God with a heart after God's own. Her humility is refreshing, and her thirst, her own personal thirst for the Lord, all things of the Lord, is amazing. So won't you please get something to write with and to write on, and please welcome your host and facilitator, Pastor Vanessa Carver.
Thank you, Apostle Cook, for that. I just appreciate your words, and I appreciate your dedication to this show, Wounded No More, and to this entire network. You know, tonight is a night that in my body I'm tired, but spiritually this topic is so, I am very passionate about it, and that is one thing that Apostle Cook brought out about my sincerity about this topic, about forgiveness versus unforgiveness, and I'm doing a whole series about this. It started from last year, and I'm going to do it the whole quarter, the first couple of months of the year, because I think it is so important and it can't be taught enough. But I want everybody to just be encouraged to know that with God, all things are possible. I want to encourage you tonight. I thank God for the power of prayer, but I also think it's really important to exhort each other, edify each other in this process of healing and just facing the things that God says he has sent Jesus to die for, that we can be healed and bound up, completely healed. And so I want you to be encouraged. I'm going to start with a verse to encourage you. That's going to be my format today from here on out. I'm going to encourage you first, and then we're going to pray, because it's important to encourage you and edify you and lift you up, knowing that you are clothed with strength and dignity. You can laugh at the days to come, and you speak wisdom, and faithful instruction is on your tongue. And that's Proverbs 31. It's talking about the Proverbs 31 woman. This isn't, you know, that's a verse that many people, about the virtuous woman, many people quote, but I'm saying that to you tonight, that you're clothed with strength and dignity. No matter what you feel like, remember who God has said you are as we continue this series of forgiving what you can't forget. By the author Lisa Turkhurst. We remember we were following and reading from her journal, from the book, as well as her study guide, which I love study. I love her book. And as I do every session, I always give you a little background of how I chose this book. In 2021, it was given to me as a reference or something to read by my therapist. We were dealing with a lot of things, and she said that this book was something that she wanted to recommend. And I actually, you know, got it, and I was just so enamored with this book and loved this book. And I did share it. I did a Facebook Live that same year. Didn't finish everything, didn't go through everything through it like I am with you all, but just I love this book. I love what God has given this woman of God to do, and that's what we're following. And, you know, I also believe in organic movement of the Spirit of the Lord. He talks to me in the moment based upon the material, so I'm not a person that's going to follow it word by word and line by line. I use it as a guide because her thoughts are so refreshing, and she covers so many things, but very simply. If you will. She'll talk about certain things, and then it'll trigger me to think about something else as it pertains to this issue. Now, keep in mind, I am not an expert on unforgiveness or forgiveness, for that matter. I just have a heart because I realize a lot of people in the body of Christ struggle with this issue on so many layers. The last time I taught, we were talking about generational unforgiveness and generational things that happen in our families that keep us bound. We were following the story of Joseph. And when I tell you that from reading about Joseph to, because I was just encouraging everybody to get in the Word and read that whole story. It's all 13 chapters in the book of Genesis, and it just shows you the dynamic of family and the dynamic of dysfunction. That is a perfect segue into what I'm going to talk about tonight. Now, once we begin to heal from things, once God begins to open up our eyes and we become stronger, our relationships will be impacted, and we should expect our relationships to be impacted. And the only reason is because God has made all things new. Anytime we talk about healing, our understanding spiritually and naturally becomes fruitful, and God begins to show us who we really are, who we should gravitate to, what we should gravitate to, and that changes the canvas of our life. Our relationships begin to change. How we see other people, how we see ourselves begins to change. Sometimes it can be very, very refreshing. Sometimes it can be very, very distressed because there are levels of codependency in those dysfunctional relationships. Some of those relationships can be, in some cases, abusive. Some of those relationships are not reciprocated based upon somebody being tied to somebody because of an activity that they used to do together, and now that person isn't doing that activity anymore. But the moment that you begin to forgive somebody or forgive, period, it affects your relationships, even the most intimate ones. And so I want to talk about setting up boundaries. You know, when you begin to get in a place where you can see with your own eyes how unforgiveness has created patterns in your life, negative patterns. It is taking you out of the frame of who God has told you to be. You're not who you are when you're operating in that place of unforgiveness. But once you begin to wake up, you begin to evaluate a lot of things. And in her study guide, we're going to start on page 111, where she is talking about, today we're going to reflect on chapter 9. Chapter 9 is about forgiving what you, in the book, Forgiving What You Forget. Chapter 9 is addressing boundaries and dysfunctional relationships. It's talking about enabling types of behavior. And let's begin to, and things that keep us in a dysfunctional place. In mind, I'm going to keep saying this over and over again as needed. God has made all things new. So those relationships that you saw yourself in the beginning, when you said, I'm going to forgive, you're going to see it in a different way. And like I said, sometimes it can be really refreshing. You're like, okay. But sometimes you can be distressed because there has to be a detachment from those relationships. They're keeping you bound. And so I'm going to read an excerpt from her book. It's on page 123 of the book, and it's 111 from the study guide. When someone is making destructive choices, it's usually because they are hurting. As I've stated over and over, hurting people will hurt other people. When we recognize this, we can invest our energy in one of the two directions. The first direction is we can draw boundaries, appropriate boundaries. And this is not to shut people out, but rather to shield ourselves from the consequences of their hurtful behaviors affecting us more than them. Or the other direction is to try to change that person, who, by the way, will only grow more and more difficult with every tightening grip of our attempted control. And even if we were successful, the most we could ever accomplish is behavior management or behavior modification. The person has to change from the inside out. So what she's talking about is learning, first of all, to recognize that you do need to set up boundaries and begin to do them. And she said, I wish with every fiber of my being I could tell you that you can do enough to one day cause that person to change, to give enough, to love enough, to forgive enough, to beg enough, to talk enough, or to control enough. But it's not true. Change can only happen for them from the inside out. Truly sustainable, lasting change must come from the inside, from inside their own heart, not from pressure that you exert from the outside in. Are you trying to make a relationship that you had in the past in a place of dysfunction move forward and work where God has you now? I want you to take some time to think about that. because tonight we are still talking about forgiving. And we're talking about being in a place where you choose to forgive and everything becomes very, very different. Your lenses are changing. Your roles are changing. Your understanding is changing. The inside, your inner man is changing from the inside out. And so those relationships have to be looked at very evaluated, if you will, very differently. And they will, because the Holy Spirit is there and he will give you pure insight and understanding. And keep in mind, we're still talking about forgiveness. Your forgiveness, mm-hmm. your decision to forgive is changing you. I want you to stop and think about that. So where in the past you didn't have to set up boundaries, now you do. Now you do have to set up boundaries because you're starting to see things very differently. And I want to just believe and pray for that person today who is dealing with the pressure of realizing that I might be alone if I start evaluating these relationships. People might misunderstand me. I might be judged or whatever. I feel that God is saying that there are people that are really afraid of the type of relationships that are changing around them. It's really, and it's happening very quickly for some of us. We don't realize mm-hmm. or we don't understand how to or maybe to proceed forward from a place where we have to set up boundaries. It says, why might we as Christians fall easily into the trap of thinking our job is to rescue others? Well, part of it is I think we get excited about what God is doing in our lives, and we begin to say, hey, you know what? If I talk to, you know, my neighbor or whoever that person is that you're wanting to help or change or influence, and, you know, we have a lot in common, and I know if God can help me, God can help them. So it comes from a place sometimes of just having tunnel vision. You only see one aspect of the change. You don't realize the change has to be internal. Maybe they don't want to change. Maybe they're in agreement really with what they're doing. They don't see nothing wrong with it. They're not going to be excited about your relationship with God and so on and so forth, whether it's a family member or somebody you've known since your childhood. We might, and sometimes it's creating, it can be pride, guilt. You have a false sense of humility, burdens, and responsibility. So you have to really look at that and say, Lord, you know, other than praying for them, or what do you want me to do? And he'll plainly tell you what to do, but he also will tell you what not to do. And I think as Christians, we, especially when it comes to the familiar, oh, I used to run with them. I used to do all this. Now I'm going to go back and try to save the whole neighborhood. That's usually not going to happen. That's usually not going to happen. You have to set up boundaries that are safe. It says, how does the idea of setting up boundaries make you feel? This goes back to what I said earlier. It can make you feel either refreshed or just I'm ready to do this or very distressed. And for whoever I'm talking to tonight, even if they're not on this line, I believe that it's distressing for you. I believe you're afraid of what your relationships are going to look like when you begin to create boundaries, healthy boundaries in your life. You're afraid of what it may feel like to be alone physically, but just keep in mind, you're never alone. These same people, they're going to misunderstand me. They're not going to, you know, want to hang out with me anymore. They're going to judge me. They're going to ostracize me. They're going to be afraid to talk to me. They're going to isolate me. I know I didn't plan to hit this hard like this, so I know that the Lord is speaking to somebody's heart tonight. You know, if you know your roles have changed, and you don't do what they do, you don't have to look at them less than, see them through the eyes of Christ, but you can't continue to condone the behavior and say that you're really healed. You'll be drawn right back into that vortex. She calls it a pride vortex, where people enable each other because they feel guilty, because they feel like they need me, and it becomes very codependent. But remember what I read earlier today, or just maybe about 10 minutes ago, about she's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She's peace with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. So you have to stand up in the world that God has put you in. Once you begin to forgive people, everything does change and the boundaries have to be set up. And it's a good place.
God wanted me to speak about this topic, but he wanted me to speak about specifically the issue of dysfunction. And dysfunction is going to continue in your life if you don't set up these boundaries as it pertains to your relationship. Not just who you hang with, but what y'all used to do, how y'all used to think. We all got all things in common in a negative way. You have to break away from those people. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It doesn't mean you don't care about them or care about their welfare. You have to begin to let the life that God has for you lead you in a different path. And that's setting up boundaries. She said, boundaries aren't push others away. They are to hold us together, to hold us together. That means you. When you're doing two things, it talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So when you begin to set up boundaries, you become more focused and more solidified in your journey to heal, in your journey to be whole. She said, otherwise, you downgrade your gentleness to hastily speak words of anger and resentment. I will downgrade my progress with forgiveness to bitterness. I will downgrade my words of sincerity to frustrated words of anger, aggression, or rude remarks. I would see she's using this to express your emotions. It's like you become, choose life. I mean, that scripture, that verse just came to me, choose life. You know, he says before you life and death, choose life. Choose to live. Choose to be solid. Choose to be whole. As you say, I'm stepping away from the old and I'm walking into the new. If your life, so when you don't have those boundaries, you will have a downgrade. You'll be pulled back into those old attitudes and actions and things that you were in agreement with. Like I said, we used to run together. We used to go here and do this and that. Now we don't do that anymore. I don't agree with that, you know, and it's not your job to change them. Remember, you're clothed with strength and dignity, so you don't have to come up outside yourself to make a stand. When you lack a boundary, it leads you to dread the days ahead. So if you're constantly interacting with people or in situations or circumstances that do not reflect who you are, it is something that you will dread. It is something that will make you feel like you're being a phony. It can create a lot of inner turmoil. So when we decide, I'm going to be strong, I'm going to walk worthy, verse on who God called me to be. I'm going to learn how to walk in wisdom and learn how to walk in true humility. I'm going to learn how to cast all my cares on him, for he cares for me, which means some people are so bound to other people and relationships and what it was, and thinking they owe somebody something, that they become very dysfunctional and codependent. So they will stay, and even if they know that person or that situation is bad for them, they'll stay in it, because it's all they know, or they feel guilty, like I mentioned before. And the reason why you have to say, I love God and I love myself enough to walk away from this, because I will not be double-minded and I will not be in this place of torment. A lot of times people have fear, and it says perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment, creates torment. Mm-hmm. And so if you're in a relationship that you feel tormented by, or you feel dread when you have to interact with that person because you feel like you have to stand up for what's right or always defend your healing, you know, maybe, and I'll give you a scenario God's given me right now. Maybe you're in a situation where it's called trauma bonding. Anybody ever heard of that term? And what that term is, I'll give it to you. Trauma bonding is what you all share something in common, like, yeah, this all happened to us. We all were in bad relationships, right? All of our boyfriends or our husbands left us, or we're all divorced, or, yeah, it's trauma bonding. It's something negative that you all have in common, but that's really one of the only, the main common thread that keeps you together is the trauma that you all experienced. If you realize, okay, Lord, this is not helping my mindset. This is making me, you know, bitter and justifying the bitterness. And I know you told me to forgive. So how do these people fit into my life now? How do these situations fit into my life? Like, they don't fit. They're saying right and you're saying left. And I know that.
trauma bonds, they create enabling behaviors. They keep score, and they use intimate knowledge against each other. So if you know something about somebody else, it's just kind of like you just keeping tabs. Emotional addiction to each other, which is codependency, and fear of separation. The chronic fear of abandonment as well. And I think that's the spirit I'm speaking to, is the spirit of abandonment. Somebody is really struggling. They're afraid of being alone or being abandoned or what it feels like to be by yourself. And I think that this is really important to recognize, to start evaluating your relationships, not just through this example of trauma bonding, but is this edifying? Is this going to help somebody else? Don't make it just about you. Make it about the other person. Am I helping them by agreeing to go along with the foolishness that I know I don't agree with? How am I helping them? By not standing up in what I really believe in. By deciding to say that, you know, my level of forgiveness has really created some wholeness in my life. And I want you to be free one day. But if you can't, for whatever reason, you know, I'm going to pray for you. I pray tonight, too, that God will give you the words to say to that person, to that situation. And don't make it so big so that you are so afraid of it. In Galatians 1 and 10 and Proverbs 29 and 25, let's read that. I think it's just really important to always go back to what the word is saying to us, right? Only because it gives us the reference, we can read it over and over again. It's not going to change. It's going to say the same thing that it did before. God will bring it to our memory a lot of times in real time while we're talking to the person and give us a practical application so that not only do we hear the word, but we can apply it in our lives. So that's why it's important to read the word and study the word, because especially when it comes to this type of issues, it really does help. You can live it practically, and it is going to make sense. So in Galatians 1, verses 10, and I'm reading from the Amplified, it says, I am now trying to win the favor and approval. He said, am I now? So let's start with verse 6, because this is Paul speaking. He says, I'm astonished and extremely irritated that you are quickly shifting your allegiance and deserting him who called you by grace of Christ for a different, even contrary gospel, which is really not another gospel. But there are obviously some people masquerading as teachers who are disturbing and confusing you with the misleading and counterfeit teaching. And they want to distort the gospel of Christ, twisting it into something which it absolutely is not. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we preach to you, let him be condemned to destruction. And as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel different from that which you received from us, let him be condemned to destruction. So Paul is basically talking to them about believing a false gospel that had to do with them needing to be circumcised to be saved. But then this is the verse I want you to focus on. It says, and now I'm trying to win. He says, are you trying to win the favor and approval of man or of God? This is the part. As you make those decisions through your life to move forward in your healing, are you trying to seek approval from man or God? He says, or am I seeking to please someone? If I were still trying to be popular with men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. So there you go. So he's talking about in that verse 10, prefacing about decisions people need to make not to be led astray easily by doctrine in this case. But I'm speaking to you as it has to do with your relationships. Are you trying to be man pleasers? Are you trying to be a servant of Christ? That's the question. And God can give you courage, and God can give you strength, and God can give you peace. But you have to expect him to. You know, it's time to come out from among them and be separate. And that means a lot of times with our ideologies and our attitudes, I think that's why some people don't take Christians seriously. because they see us commingle and sign on to a lot of foolishness that's in the world that is totally contrary to what the Word says. And that's because they're men pleasers. But people have a lot of fear, too. You know, when we reference the term about trauma bonding, that's one of those things that come up. That big word is about fear. What are you afraid of? You're afraid of not being approved by people, by men. And if we go to Proverbs 29 and 25, pray God give you courage. I pray that you ask for courage, because it's going to take courage to be healed. It's going to take courage to stay healed. It's going to take courage to say, I'm wounded no more, for real. It really is, and I'm going to forgive. So in 29, Proverbs 29, verses 25, I think this is the one I already said. It says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in and puts his confidence in the Lord will be exalted and what? Safe. You're safe. You're safe. Whether you realize it or not, when you choose to please God, you are in protection around you. When you decide I'm going to be obedient, but I'm also going to be in true relationship with God, He's healing me. He's restoring me to be who I'm supposed to be in Him. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So know that when you start to get into this loop of pleasing people because you decided to come out of dysfunction, it's a trap. It truly is a trap. You can feel it almost sometimes when the Holy Spirit just makes you real sensitive to stuff like that. You say, this is not the best choice. This is not the right choice for me. He'll make it very clear that that's what you're doing is trying to please people instead of pleasing Him. And He wants to bless you, and He loves you, and He wants you to be whole. He doesn't want you to be drawn back into sin or drawn back into dysfunction where you're hard, where you're in agreement with lies that have nothing to do with who you are in Christ. So it's really important to understand when you choose to be on the side of men, when you're following your own pride, when you're even feeling guilty, you're choosing to please people. I want you to, it says, you know, it's important to know that you're worth it. A lot of times people make bad decisions because they don't feel like their life is worth anything. You know, especially people that have had a rough life, tired. They are so tired.
Yes.
So they allow themselves to just keep getting abused or whatever, just staying around and just the status quo, just putting up with all kinds of foolishness that they know God wants better for them, and they do, but they don't have any strength and they don't have any power. They don't allow the power that's within them to activate them to do what they need to do. All you got to do is open your mouth and say, God, I need strength to break away from these relationships, to set up boundaries, to be consistent, to take the appetite to please people out of my life, period. I don't want to be like this. I know there's more for me. And you see how I'm not trying to give you the words to say. God will give you the words to say, but I'm letting you know how simple it is to just speak those things that you need tonight from this place of forgiveness and setting up boundaries. When we go to Romans 12, I want you to go, 12, although it may seem counterintuitive, he talks about the love of God. When we look at the context of the verses around Romans 12, 15 and Romans 12, 9 through 21 below, and think about what keeps us in a place to live in this place of love, as well as what pushes us past spiritual capacity to do what these verses instruct us to do. We need to understand that we have the Holy Spirit, so some things we can't do in our own strength. And some of you tonight are feeling like, I can't do this. Well, that's where you stop and God starts. That's where He's saying, okay, I was waiting for you to recognize that once you started healing, this is where you need to be. Totally surrendered to Him in a place to say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your peace. I need your focus. Mm-hmm. I need you to help me to see what's really there versus what I want to see. People are in denial sometimes when they begin to heal. Like I said earlier, it's not always a refreshing experience. It can be distressing because you're walking away from everything that you feel like is familiar. So when we read Romans, I'm going to read Romans 12:9-21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in a harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Okay? So I read that because I wanted you to understand there are boundaries to be set if you just look at that verse about what to do versus what not to do. And this helps someone who realizes that they are in or have been in an enabling relationships that just are not helping and they're not serving who they are, who God says they are right now. And so they're afraid of being. I've talked to several people that have told me a lot of times they isolate themselves because they're afraid of being drawn back into bad relationships. They feel like they're not able to really discern what's healthy. And because of so many years of being bound, so many years of being hurt, so many years of being wounded, so that when they begin to heal, even just a little bit, when God begins to strengthen them and they begin to heal, they said, I don't have the skills to pick healthy relationships, so I guess I won't have any. And that's not God's will either. So when we go to scripture, it tells us what to do, to mourn with those who mourn. Like I said, you don't stop loving those people. You don't stop caring for them. You don't start, you don't wish anything bad on them, because they still may, in some cases, continue to do the things that you walked away from. Nothing is guaranteed what they will or do just because you pray. It comes from them wanting to change too. And also, be careful of not focusing so much on them. Anything you give to God, you're not constantly picking back up. You're really giving it to God. And it may feel like you don't care about them because you're focusing on God, but God knows what to do. God can tell you what to do, and God can also show you what to do. And so I want to end with this, how important forgiveness is a must. While forgiveness is a must, but it's okay to take time to rebuild trust, which is part of you walking away from negativity and dysfunction and setting boundaries, because you have to rebuild trust. Just like I just mentioned, that individual who doesn't trust themselves to know how to pick healthy relationships, they always feel like I got a blind spot. I can't really see who's real. I don't trust nobody because this happened to me or that happened to me. It's forgiveness is unlimited and unconditional. Reconciliation is limited and conditional based on repentance, person's willingness to be discipled, and their humility in the restoration process. So if you still don't feel sure about how and where to set boundaries in your relationships, don't try to figure it out on your own. Like I mentioned, ask the Lord for guidance.
Yes.
And listen to him. Find a trusted Christian counselor if needed. Speak to people who are godly and wise. And know that sometimes you may have to let people you love have journey on one side of the street and have yours on the other side of the street for a while. Just saying that hurts sometimes. Just realizing that you have to learn to love people where they are, and sometimes that means there's a line there. God will strengthen you. Doesn't mean you ain't going to cry. Doesn't mean you're not going to hurt. You're still human. But that's sometimes the reality of it all. And I think somebody that's listening to this or who will be listening to this is really, really struggling with that. They don't want the pain of what it feels like to walk away from those relationships. In the back of the forgiving what you can't Forget book, you will find a section called What the Bible Actually Says About Forgiveness. So with scripture on when the reconciliation isn't wise or possible, this is what she's talking about. You will also find a section called Some Important Notes to Consider on Abuse. And she is addressing this at the back of the book as well. So you have to be able to learn and discern spiritually what those relationships really were. And in some cases, they were abusive from the beginning. They were not God's purposes for your life. They represent old things. They represent an old man or old woman. They represent an old mindset. They represent a person who was hard, who had unforgiveness. They represent a person who was in bondage. That's what those relationships represent. And I want to end with prayer, and I'm going to really go hard, and then I'll open it up for anyone who would like to leave a comment or give some insight. But I want to close with prayer. I opened up by encouraging you, which is going to be what I do from now on these shows, and then I will close with prayer. Father God, we just say thank you to you because of who you are, your sovereignty, your all-knowing presence, Father God, is always around us. So we just say thank you, and we give you praise and learn to worship you in spirit and in truth by acknowledging who you are right now in this moment. We thank you, Lord, today that you can speak plainly to us about this issue of unforgiveness and dysfunction, how it doesn't just mean we forgive, but how it begins to paint who we are through your eyes. Lord, you love us so much. You also love us in our place where we were broken, where we were hurt, where we were creating a lot of dysfunction, joining in and in alignment with negativity. But I thank you, Lord, today for giving that man or woman of God to continue to focus on your will for their lives, to begin to pray for those who you laid on their hearts who represent the past. And I also thank you, Lord, today for the ability to discern spiritually who should be there and who should not. And also, what things to come out of agreement within their thoughts, what things to come out of agreement within their ideology, because these things are drawing them to a negative place instead of where you want them to be. Lord, begin to break the chains over their mind. Break the chains, Father God, over their hearts that keep them, Father God, seeing themselves in a dark place instead of healed, instead of restored, instead of enlightened, instead of wise. When all these voices, Father God, are saying that they're nothing and they never will be nothing, you shut the mouths of the naysayers. You shut the mouths of the naysayers, no matter who they are, what they represent, that your voice and your influence through your word, Father God, will bind up the wounds in their hearts, and that their ears will be open to only what you say. It'll be sensitive to you, Lord, and your leading and your guidance. Strengthen them, Lord, where they are weak. Lord, where it is dim, brighten up those things in their lives, Father God, that are dark. Give them a level of peace so that they can focus too. Lord, open up their mouths. I pray that they just begin to hear you plainly and not overcomplicate what you're saying to them and what they need to do because of fear. I pray that the spirit of fear, Father God, will be replaced with courage and love. Love for you, love for your people as servants, and deciding to believe who you've called them to be. In your precious name, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful message, lesson we have had on tonight, Pastor Vanessa. I just want to thank you. If you are in the studio right now and you have a comment or a question or would just like to give a praise where God, or just share what you have, you can now do so by pressing your 1 on your keypad. And I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. We do have a Spirit Alive, Mother Mitchell from Spirit Alive in the house. If you have anything you would like to say, you can add it at this time.
Yes, thank you, Apostle Cook. I just would like to thank and give godly praise to Pastor Vanessa for this teaching. It's something that I am dealing with and have been dealing with for a long time. and will continue to listen for what God wants me to hear and what he wants me to, tells me to do, and pray for the courage to do it once he tells me what that is. So I will be just, I'm so thankful for the teachings. I may have missed one, I'm not sure, but I just thank God for these teachings on forgiveness versus not forgiving and being able to change your life so it's, you have a better life in Christ Jesus as well as the people around you. And, you know, fear is a strange thing sometimes because we don't feel like we're afraid. I very seldom feel truly afraid, but at the same time, I don't want to become afraid because life lived in fear is no life at all. It just isn't. You cannot be afraid of everything.
Amen.
And everybody.
That's right.
Just can't. You just have to, I think the young people say now, suck it up and move on. You can't just stay buried in fear. And people keep thinking that I'm depressed because I get quiet. My quietness is not depression. My quietness is listening on the for the Lord. So thank you, Pastor Vanessa, for your teaching, and I look forward to the next one. Thank you, Apostle Cook.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Pastor Vanessa, I just really love the way you bring out so many great points in your teachings. And one that really blessed me on tonight is that, you know, how does enabling, condoning, going along with ungodly behavior in order to get along, how does that help anybody? You know, and I think people, they tend to forget if they are not in a servant leader's role, that as a servant leader, we have to always we have to be able to hear, do, understand. Everybody is not going to have it right. Everybody is not going to do it right. Everybody does, because they don't know how. But they have to remember that we have to teach in a way that everybody can get it. You know, so that because we want others to be able to forgive. First of all, we want them to be able to forgive, receive forgiveness for themselves. Okay. You know, we people have been running around for years talking about, you need to just forgive yourself. You need to forgive yourself so you can forgive other people. No. What you need to do is receive forgiveness, because you see, beloved, you didn't hang, bleed, and die on that cross. Christ died, and only Christ died for forgiveness of sin. So I beseech you, my brothers and sisters, as a servant leader, as your sister, to first of all, be sure that you know where your eternal address. Make sure that you have first received forgiveness for yourself. And if you're not sure of that, all you need to do is be sure. And right now I'm going to lead you in a prayer that if you wasn't sure or you just feel like, you know, you want to really, really be sure, just follow my lead. Mm-hmm. Most questions, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, I come to your throne right now in the name of Jesus, in your holy name, repenting of my sin, asking that you come into my life and rescue me, so that I can begin to forgive, so that I might receive forgiveness from you and I might be able to forgive others. Lord Jesus, come into my life and show me your ways. Come into my life and show me the things that will be hard. Show me the things, Lord God, that I need to be shown in order that so that I might be everything that you want me to be in you. Because I have now come to the realization that it is not about me, Lord, but it is indeed all about you. So I come now committing myself to you. I give my life to you. I give all that I am to you. And I'm going to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise for the rest of my life. And I pray this in your holy name. Amen. Now, if you prayed any form of that prayer with a sincere heart, I want you to know that you are forgiven. Hallelujah. See, one of the biggest misconceptions that the devil puts out there is that somehow in order to be a true believer, you got to work your way up. Well, there is no working your way up. I came to tell you tonight, if you prayed that prayer, if you asked the Lord Jesus to come into your life, you are forgiven and you enter into the kingdom with all rights, full access and accesses and privileges, because God's promises are the same for each and every one of his children. So once again, Pastor Vanessa, this is a very needed series on forgiveness versus unforgiveness, because there's a lot of people out there that think they're walking around in forgiveness when they're really not. So we want everybody to be absolutely sure that they are forgiven and that they are doing everything that they need to do in order to be able to forgive others. We want to thank Pastor Vanessa Carver. I want to thank Mother Mitchell for her comments. And we want to thank all of you for tuning in tonight. We pray that you tune in tomorrow for Bishop Eric Ware as he brings you Standing in Valor. And then on Saturday, you can join us on the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. And then once again, I'm blessed to announce that Pastor Vanessa Carver will be bringing our Sunday morning message on the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. So we just pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. God bless you from all of us here at Wounded No More and the Spirit Alive Network. Good night. God bless you.
Good night, everybody. God bless.
Good night. God bless. Love you, Pastor Vanessa. Love you, Apostle Cook.